All right, we're beginning here on the top of Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph, 10 lines down. The Gemara begins by Abaye. Abaye asks the following question. The truth is that Tosafot has the Girsa of Abaye Rav Ashi. The Rav Ashi posed the question, and it's possible that Tosafot went in that direction because the last person that spoke in the previous Gemara was Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi drew distinctions in terms of Balmum in Hektesh Mizbeach versus non-Balmum, and therefore the questions relate to that type of issue. And so maybe make more sense even that Rav Ashi was asking the questions rather than Abaye, who had a much more crude distinction that we saw before, which was between Kodshe Bedek Abayit versus Kodshe Mizbeach. But nevertheless, our Gemara has Baye Abaye. Ayu lefanav shtei behemot shel kodesh. He has two animals that are kodesh, balat mum. They're both balei mumim. Ushtei behemot shel chulin tmeimot. And then he has two behemot chulin that are there. V'amar hari elu tachat elu. He says, these are in place of those. Mahu. What is his meaning in his statement? Mi amar let puse. Did he intend over here to create tmura, beloki? And he's going to get malkot. And when we say he's going to get malkot, he's going to have to get two sets of malkot over here because he now moved over to bali mumim to tmimim. Odilma kohecha de'ika hetera, or shavikinish hetera v'abedisura. Or when there's a choice between heter and isur, we assume that the person's intent is for the heter aspect, not for the iser aspect over here. So now, a baal mum in hektesh needs to be redeemed. And therefore, we would assume that instead of being tmura that he's saying, even though he said, hare elu tachet elu, which is a lashon of tmura, nevertheless, his intention is to be mechalel them, is to take the kshusha off those baal mumim and move it on to the tmimim. So the tension that we have here is that on one hand, he used lashon of tmura, and the lashon of tmura is something that is asur. On the other hand, we have a behemat balmum in hektesh. So if you're going to do something with it, it makes the most sense to make it into chulin, meaning transfer the kedusha through chilul. And so maybe that was his intent over here. Now, as the Bali Tosafot point out, Rashi points out that the first case here in the Gemara, the fact that there are two animals is irrelevant. You could say the same thing with one animal. And one animal that was a balat mum, and you had one of chulin that was tamim, the same question would arise. Is he doing tmura or is he doing chilul? And the same size that we spelled out before would be equally applicable. The reason that the Gemara asked the question with two animals is because of the continuation of the Gemara where it becomes important that there are two animals. But at this point, you could have asked the question just with one animal. It's a question of, do we take his language very literally? And he does the Isur and he's in violation of tmura. But we take his language less literally because of the context in which we find it. It makes sense that he's trying to be Mechalel du Pidyon, and we will assume that's what he did. Now, of course, you would have to say here, he didn't put his hand on either of the animals. Because we saw before from Rav Ashi, if you put your hand on the Chulin, then it makes it Tmura. If you put your hand on the Kodesh, that makes it into Pidyon. So if he had done one of those items, then we would have evidence as to what he did. But he didn't put his hands on the animals, and therefore we don't have evidence as to what he meant. And that's why we have a Safek over here. If you want to suggest, whenever you have the opportunity for heter, people don't give up the heter and do the isur, so we're going to assume in that previous case that he was mechalel, he did pidyon, and he did do tmura. Let's look at the following case. So you have two animals of kodesh. One of the two is a balat mum, the other one is a tamim. And then you have two animals of chulin, pachat mehem balat mum, and one of them has a mum in it. Ve'amar, and he makes the statement, haru elu tachat elu. These are in place of those. So again, using a lashon of tmura, mahu, what's the din over here? Ki amar, what he meant was, tmima tachat tmima lat puse. The tmima, the behemat hekdesh that's tamim, for sure he's creating tmura over here because that's the only way you could transfer that kedusha. So the animal of kodesh that's tamim, he clearly did tmura with, but the tmura he did was he moved it from an animal without a mum to an animal without a mum. But balat mum, tachat balat mum. And then the other animals that you have, one of kodesh that's a balat mum, and one of chulin that's a balat mum, lachule. That he meant to do a pidyon, a redemption on. Since it was a behemat balat mum, he can transfer the kedusha off of it. Here he transferred the kedusha off of it onto another animal that's a balat mum. So he's just moving that kedusha that needs to be monetized. He moved it from one balat mum onto another balat mum, but that was in the derech of pidyon, not in the derech of tmura. Now, even though according to many, there's an Isur to be Makdish a Balat Mum. Nevertheless, it's not as bad an Isur as also doing Tmura on top of that. Or according to some, Derech Tmura, when you do it in this manner, then there's no Isur involved in putting the Kiddushah into Balat Mum. And still others suggest that over here, he's not trying to be Makdish the Balat Mum, he's just trying to move the Kiddushah that needs to be monetized, that value he's trying to move from the Balat Mum to a Balat Mum, and that wouldn't be an Isur here to be Makdish a Balat Mum. So did we say that that was his statement? One Isur, one Heter, meaning one Tmura, one Pidyon. Maybe he's trying to transfer the Kedushah from the Balat Mum of Hekdesh onto his Tamim of Chulin, which would make sense, because he's trying to upgrade to get a better animal, because he wants to take away the Balat Mum, and he's upgrading it onto something that is now a Tamim. But if he does that, then the Balat Mum de Chulin is Tachat Tamim of Hekdesh. Then the other transference would then be Balat Mum of Chulin accepting Kedushah from the Tamim of Hekdesh. But in that case, you then did Rabba Tov, Tov Berah, and you ended up with Hatpasa in both of them. And you'll get Mtarvayu Lucky. You'll get Makot for both of them. Rashi over here says, why can't you say that it was Tmura in both of them? And he did a Tamim to a Tamim, and a Balat Mum to a Balat Mum. Why can't that be the scenario of Tarvayu Lucky, that they're both Tmura, rather than the Gemara mixing and matching it? Saying, oh, the case of Tmura by both of them is in a case when you're moving the Balat Mum of Hekdesh onto the Tamim of Chulin, and when you're moving the Tamim of Hekdesh onto the Balat Mum of Chulin. So Rashi makes a statement here, which the Balei Tosafot are not so in favor of, which is, when it comes to Tmura, Tmura is only Rabbe Tov and Tov Vira. But Rabbera lo katuv dili avid Tmura. That, as far as the Pasuk is concerned, when you do a Rabbera, that doesn't have a din of Tmura. So Tosafot challenges that, and he says that, yes, Rashi says that, but he says, Velo Nehira, Zeh lo Matzino. He says, we don't find that that's true. And he brings evidence that he thinks to the contrary. But then he backs away and says, Miu, kol ha-shita, dahacha, mashmak beir Rashi. The whole sukkah here sounds exactly like what Rashi's saying. The Gemara avoids ever putting a balat mum to a balat mum, indicating or seemingly showing that there is no tmura when it comes from a balat mum to a balat mum. And therefore he says, what Rashi says seems to be right. And then he brings veri perish, the rabara nami chayot tmura le, yeshlan lamar tvei lachule elat puse. So what the Re says is it's just levels of gradation. That Eino Hanami, Rabara, is subject to Tmura. And Rashi's wrong about that. It is subject to Tmura. But if you have a choice of explaining when you moved a Balat Mum to a Balat Mum, what did you do? Did you do Tmura? And Tmura applies to Rabara. Or did you do redemption pidyon? You moved the monetization of this animal, which you need to transfer the Kedushah, onto another object in kind animal, which is a behemat balmum, and you just move the kedusha over, and Hekdesh doesn't lose anything by that, and that transference to kedusha can be considered or classified as pidyon. So he says, in that scenario, you're more likely to explain it as being pidyon than being tmura, because tmura doesn't make sense that you're moving from balat mum to a balat mum. What did you gain by doing that? And so that doesn't make sense to do that. And so not that you won't be chayav, but it just, if you're going to interpret what he did, we'd rather interpret it as pidyon than as tmura, and that's why the only case of tmura that they'll get Malkot for both of them, the Gemara gave, was when you move the Balat Mum of Hekdesh onto the Tamim of Chulin, and vice versa, you move the Tamim of Hekdesh onto the Balat Mum of Chulin. And because of that problem, and the issues that arise here with Rashi and Tosfot saying that Rabbi Ra doesn't have a din of Tmura, if you look in the Gra, he says that Leniat Ato, the Girsa is flipped over here. And this is what the Girsa should say. Nira da Girsa Meupach. Tzarech Lamar, Mi Amrinan Tmima Tachat Tmima, Balat Mum tachat Balat Mum. Do you say that Tmiya is exchanged for the Tmima and the Balat Mum for the Balat Mum? Vitar Vayu Lucky and they both get Malkot. It means Rabbi Ra gets Malkot. And so does Tov V'Tov get Malkot. Inami. Or do we say Hatmima to Chulin tachat Balat Mum? That the Tmima of Chulin is replacing the Balat Mum of Hekdesh. That would be La Chule. And then the Balat Mum of Chulin that's replacing the Tmima of Hekdesh is La Puse is Tmura. So in the way that the Ross sets it up and he flips the gears around saying that Balat Mum to Balat Mum and Tmiya to Tmima creates a problem of Hatpasa for both of them. That's the case where you get Malkot for both of them. And then the case where you mix and match it is the case where you would only have one of them get Malkot, the exact opposite of the gears here, but then he avoids the problem of why is it Balat Mum, Takat Balat Mum, it's called a Chule in the Gemara, and there's no problem of Tmura. Now the Gemara says, okay, we don't know the answer to this, but let's make an assumption about what we think in this case. lo avid isura. So anytime you have a chance for heter, we don't do isur. Ula chulehu velo laki. And therefore, the one of the two cases was that it was for pijon and not for tmura. You only get one set of malkot, not two sets of malkot. Yulapanav shalosh behemot shel kodesh. He has three animals of kodesh. Vachat behen balat mum, and only one of them is a balat mum. Ushlosha behemot shel chulin tmimot. He has three of chulin that are tmimot. Vamar hare elu tachet elu. They say that these are an exchange of those. Mi amrina. Do we say tmimot tachet tmimot that pusay? So it's clear here that two animals of hekdesh that are tamim are tmura when you exchange that or move that kedusha to two animals that are tamim of chulin. There's no other way to explain it, and there's definitely tmura with two of these animals. So tmiotnami tachet balat mum that pusay. So it would say the same thing then when the tamim comes to replace the balat mum, and everything is tmura over here. Odelma hachanami, or maybe we'll say the same thing over here. Kahechadita hetera lovedi sura. If he has a chance to do heter, he won't do it. Yisur. So two of them are tmura, but the last one is pijom. And that last one that was a balat mum was a case of pijon. The imtim salomar. And if you want to say, hachanami, kemi dakati gavra, loit chazek bisure, since he's not a gavra that has a chazoka with regards to surim, lo shave ketera, we assume that he still upholds doing the best thing and doing the heter. Lo shave ketera vavidi surim, he won't leave the heter to do the isur. By Ravashi, then let's ask the following question. Ayula fanav arba behemot. He has four animals, shel kodesh, v'achat mehem balat mum, v'arba behemot shel chulin, that are tmimot, v'amar hare elu tachat elu. And he says, these are in place of those. Ma'u. Ha'cha v'adai kemin dit chazek gavra bisurei. Since this person already has a chazaka and isurim, because four animals, three of them are tmura. So three creates a chazaka, and that chazaka then means that we no longer make the assumption that when he has a choice between isur and heter, that he's going to go to wear heter, because he's already violated this isur three times over here, and therefore lucky barba malkiot, he gets malkot for all of them, including the balat mum, because we assume that all of it was tmura. Odilma afagav di tchazek gavr bisure, even though the individual now is considered to be a person that is a wanton violator of tmura, lo shavek inish hetera b'avri sura. Still, if there's an opportunity where one of these could be heter, then we're going to assume he does that. Have b'traita lachule, have, and therefore the last animal, the fourth animal, is lachule. Teku. We'll leave that as an unresolved issue, and seemingly it plays back, even though it's his Imtim Salomar all along. The Imtim Salomar is the same Imtim Salomar, and therefore the Teku is throughout the whole Sugyo over here. So let's just discuss a couple of things, first of which is this idea of Chazaka, which is a little strange. Chazaka is when you do something three times, when you repeat something three times. If you do in a single offense three times in a row or together, it doesn't seem to be that that creates a Chazaka, and the Shita Mikubetzet already points that out. He read in Yudalef, he says, Gilyon, Afgav dit chazka gavra, ein ze chazaka gemura. It's not a real chazaka. The bevat achat, that it happened with dibur ba, it happened in one shot and in one dibur. It wasn't like he did it three separate times. So it's not your classic type of chazaka. It's a much weaker form of a chazaka, which is, this guy is just a wanton violator, but not that he has now a chazaka of doing it three times. He did it one time, and that one time happened to have three manifestations of it. So it's not a real, real chazaka. So now, if you think about the progression of the Gemara wants to know how influential is the other Avera on the possibility of the one item that could be the heter. Does that then influence that, or does it have no influence on that? We started out a case, again, we said there that it could be one animal or two animals, doesn't really matter. There we asked, when a person uses Lashon of Tmura, does that mean that he meant to do Tmura and he's going to get Malkot? Or does that mean that he, even though he said Tmura over here, since it was a balat mum that was ra'uy to for pijon, he was moving that hekdesh off of it. So the Gemara says, okay, given that, let's go to a new case. New case is one of them is a balat mum, one of them is a tamim. In that case, you're for sure violating Tmura with one of them. And the other one is a balat mum, we have a question about it. So then when you say, hari elu tachet elu, you're still using the same language for both of them. So over there, do we say, since the language that you use for one of them is definitely Tmura, it also influences the other one, and that other one is also Tmura over here. Or do we say, well, it's one and one. So one and one, so one of them is Tmura, one of them is Chulin. So let's go to the next case. The next case is where you have three animals. You have three animals, two of which are Tmimim, and one is a Balat Mum. So in that case, again, you use one statement of Harei L'Tachet Elu, two of them are going to be Tmura, one of them is going to be a possibility of Tmura, or a possibility of Chulin, meaning through pijon. So over there, now, you have two versus one. Now, the rove of what you've done with this language is tmura. So that then govern the last item and make it into Tumura as well? Or do we say no? Just because those two are Tumura doesn't mean the last one is Tumura. Maybe it can remain as Pidyon. The Gemara says, okay, so if you want to tell me that Rove is not influential here, let's go to Chazaka, where he does three violations of Tumura. Is that significant enough then to say that the fourth one is also a violation of Tumura? Are we a dying? Do we say that the three are Yisur Tumura? The last one is Equilin, and it is a Pidyon. That is the description of the progression of the Gemara. And the whole Safek arises from the fact that he used, first of all, Lashon of Tumura, of Hari Elu Tachat Elu, and he used a single language for everything that he's doing in one shot. So that single language that he's using to do all these in one shot, can we, in essence, be Pagin and Dibura and say, in one place it means Tumura, in one place it means Pidyon? Or do we have to say it means Tumura because since it meant Tumura here, it's got to mean Tumura there too. You can't split up the meaning of the statement. So that's the nature of this Safek of the Gemara. That is one Lashon. Rashi brings then, in Lishnach Rina, you can see it's a very large Rashi. Over here, he brings a totally different Lashon in the Gemara. The Rabbeinu Gershom also brings that same Lishna Achrina in the Gemara. The key element of the Lishna Achrina is that he put his hands on the animals of Chulin. So that becomes a important factor, which is he said, Areu Tachat Elu, but not only did he say that, he also had his hands on the Chulin animals. And we know from Ravashi already that when you have your hands on the Chulin animal, that's an indication of Tmura, not an indication of Pidyon. So now he has two strikes against him, and those two strikes then are the question mark. Is that enough to say that he definitely is doing Tumura? Or maybe in these situations we'll still say that that was not his intent. So I'm just going to read to you the Lishna Achrina in the Rabbeinu Gershom. It's six lines down in the widest lines of the Rabbeinu Gershom. Lishna Achrina, baye baye. So the same question that we had before, how are you looking up too? Odilma. So the question about the first case, when you have two Balei Mumim and two Tmimim of Chulin. Do we say that Tmima, Tachat Tmima, Litpuse, that it becomes for Tumura? Dehavia Tmima de Kodesh Lahakrava. Because that Tmima for Kodesh makes sense because that you can put on Mizbeach. Hilkach Tafsa Tmura. That's why it becomes Tmura. Aval Tmima Tachat Balat Mum. But to put the Tmima in place of the Balat Mum, shall Delo Havia Balat Mum Lo Tafsa Tmura. Ela Lachulehu. And therefore there it doesn't take on and it's Lachule. So in the case by the animal that is a Tmamim, it can go on the Mizbeach. So when you create Tmura within it, you want to put that Tmura onto another Tamim in order to the fact that that can also go on the Mizbeach. That then relegates the other situation to a case where the Balat Mum is then going on to the Tamim, and the Balat Mum that's going to the Tamim over there, maybe that can't go into the Mizbeach. So therefore you wouldn't do Tmura and you would have done Pidyon. So that was the first Safek with regards to two animals of Kodesh, one Balat Mum, one that is Chulin, and the one that's Kodesh, that's Tamim, for sure you're doing Tmura, because the animal you transfer onto it could also go onto the Mizbeach. The Balat Mum, where we transferred him and do Tmura, it's not going to go on the Mizbeach, maybe there you wouldn't have done Tmura. V'imtim Salomar, Hacha came to buy the Meimar Beferush, Chadalit Puse, Bechadalit Chule, since over here he should have said, one of them is for Tmura, and one of them is for Chulin, and he didn't do that. He put them together in a single Lashon, therefore Tafsei, Tarvayun. They're both considered to be Tmura, ki adade anach yadei al hanu dechulin, because not only did he use one language, which then makes it sound like he's doing the same thing to both of them, but he also had his hands on the animals of chulin. And as we saw before, when you have your animals on the chulin, it's Tmura. So in that case, we would definitely say that in that situation, there is Tmura on both of the animals. So then, Ella, hayu lefanav bet behemot shel kodesh, v'chat mehen balat mum, v'shlosh behemot tmimot shel chol. The next case is you have two animals of Kodesh, one Balat Mum, one of Tamim, and then you have three animals of Chulin that are all Tamimim. V'niach yado behemat Tamimah Shochol. He put his animal hands on the animal of Tamimah Shochol. V'amar hare elu tachat elu. And then he says, these are in place of these. V'hocha. Heimir bet Tamimot Shochulin b'Tamimah achat shel Kodesh. Here he exchanged one Kodesh of Tamim onto two Tamimim of Chulin. And you can do that. We saw that earlier in the Masechta, that you can exchange 1-2, 2-1 when it comes to Tmura. And so here he moved the Kedusha of one animal onto two of Chulin. And that was effective. So now, Midam Rina Midahani Tartain Behemat Tmimah Shel Chulin Lat Puse. So there, when we're going to say that both of those animals of Chulin were a Tmura, Hay Tmimah Shlishit Shel Chol, that third one of Chol that was a Tamim, Lat Puse Tachat Balat Mum, Ta'akad Kodesh. it too is going to be tmura, that it's going to accept the kedusha from that balat mum. O dilma, v'achulehu. Or maybe he meant to do a pidyon. V'adein delo etnach yadei al hahid tmima. So then, if that was the case, why didn't he put his hand on the animal that was trying to transfer the kodesh from? Because that would then indicate pidyon, which he should have done in order to be a redemption. He didn't do that, mishum to kasava ruba adif. He says that the majority of animals are here with the chulin, so he thought it was better, mudafayach ala rov. Shalosh, he thought it was better to put his hands on the three instead of the two, because they were the more. So the reason he put his hands on there is not to indicate that he was doing tmura, but rather he put his hands there to show that these are the more, or there's more chulin than there are hektesh, and that's why he put his hands over there. So we won't ascribe meaning to his hands being on the chulin. So that Gemara leaves as tibayi. We leave that as an unresolved issue. And then it says, Ramay Rame Chada Hari Chado. A new case, which is, if he set up, lined up three animals versus three animals. He had three kodesh, two of them tmimim, one of them a balatmum. He had three animals of chulin, and he lined them up facing each other. And then he goes, Arielu Tachadelu. These are in place of these. Well, since he lined them up, one against each other, and he said, Arielu Tachadelu, does he mean that all three of them are tmura? And then, since he had his hands on the chulin animals, plus he lined them up against each other, and he said, Arei Otakarelu, there's overwhelming evidence that he meant to do tmura with all of them, and therefore we would say that he has three violations of tmura. Or do we say, Masav Mochichim, the fact that he lined up the animals opposite each other shows you what he's trying to do. And so, yeah, in two of the cases, it has to be tmura, but in the last case, it's clear that he's trying to transfer the kedusha in a form of pidyon. Or we do not worry about what he does, but what he says. What he said was, Harei Otakarelu, and he gave the same lashon for all of them. Plus, he had his hands on the chulin animals. And since he has hands on the animals, plus he said that, harielu tacharelu, that's enough evidence to say that he did tmura and all three of them. And then, lishna achrina, odilma bata ruba azlinan. Tahanu de chulin, havaruba, fahanu anach yadei. Or do we say the majority there are the tmura, because two out of the three are tmura, plus he had his hands on the chulin, and that overwhelms everything, and the Gemara leaves it as a tibaye. Again, that second Lashon very much focuses on the fact that he has his hands on the chulin all the way through. And is that a definitive action by which it makes it that for sure it's tmura? Or do we still say that the reason he put his hands on there is because of the fact that he thought that was the majority in one of the cases? Or in another case, he lined the animals up. So maybe that undermines the fact that he has hands on the chulin. Or do we ignore all of those other factors and say the fact that he put his hands on the chulin and his language is harielu tacharelu, which is the Lashon of tmura, we consider all of them to be tmura, and that would be the safek according to the Lishna Akrina. Alright, now, in the last part of the Mishnah, it says, Haita hekdesh balmum. If the animal of hekdesh was a balmum, yatzal chulin. If he uses a lashon of mechulelet, then it works in a situation where the animal of hekdesh is a balat mum, and the kedusha is then transferred over to the other animal. But then the Mishnah ended with tzarich lasot damim. Then he has to reconcile with hekdesh to pay back the amount of the deficit. So whatever he was transferring over was worth less. So he took something worth more money and transferred it onto an animal that was worth less. And the Mishnah says he's got to make up the deficit and pay it to hekdesh. So that deficit, when we say it's a lo damim, what type of requirement is that? Amar Rav Yochanan yatzal chulin. You are successful at taking the kedusha off the animal that was the balad mum and transferring it onto the new animal. Dvar Torah. That's the din min haTorah. Tzarech lasot damim midivrehem. The fact that you have to compensate, make up for the deficit, is a din derabonon. Min haTorah, you accomplished what you needed to accomplish. The only midirabanan do we make you make up the deficit. Rish Lakish Amar, ab tzarech lasot damim dvar Torah. That even min haTorah, you have to make up the deficit that's here. And if the Balei Tosafot then say, then what does it mean, yatzal chulin? How could it become chulin if you have to make up the money, min haTorah? So Tosafot says, when it says, v'lo yetzei l'chulin, it won't go out to chulin, ad sheyaseyo damim, until you pay the monies. According to the Balei Tosafot, yatzal chulin is not immediately. Yatzal chulin is after you tzarich lasot the damim. Once you've done the damim, you made up the deficit, then it'll go out to chulin. And the reason it used the lashon of yatzal chulin, even though it's not going out right away, is because the beginning of the Mishnah says lo yatzal chulin, because there it doesn't work at all. So here it says it does work, but it does work after you take care of the problem. That's the way the Balei Tosafot deal with it. The Ramban, on the other hand, says that it works here min haTorah, and it's yatzal chulin immediately, even though you owe the money. The reason that by a hedgeot, if you have some mispricing, you don't give back the object until you get paid the money, is because the object is collateral to ensure that you get paid. On the other hand, by hekdesh, we don't need that type of collateral. because the person is going to pay Hekdesh back, because Hekdesh is going to come after him for that money, and he's going to owe the money. They don't need to hold that item as collateral in order to get the money from him. That's the way the Ramban explains it, and that's why it's at Tzadok Hulin, even according to Reish Lakish, immediately. And then, we're going to leave this question in abeyance, but the question is, why does it work? If you need to pay the rest of the money, why is it that everybody thinks that the Kedusha here moves off, even though you paid the wrong amount of money? So, it's one thing to talk about a mekach and forgiveness with regards to transactions, but when it comes to Kedusha, how is it possible that you're transferring the Kedusha? So I'm going to hold that in abeyance till we get to the second half of the daf, and then I'll try to understand this in a broader picture. The Gemara says, "V'mayaskinan." What exactly is the scenario here where he owes money to Hekdesh? Inema a'ona'a. If it was a case of ona'a, b'ha'neimer Reish Lakish, afzerich la'asot damim, var Torah. In a case of ona'a, Reish Lakish is going to say, you have to pay the money, min ha'Torah, b'ha'tanan. Don't we have an explicit Mishnah in Baba Metzia, el dvarim shein lehem ona'a? There's certain items that are not subject to ona'a min ha'Torah, havadim, v'ashtarot, v'karkot, v'hekdeshot. All of these items are not subject to ona'a for Hekdesh. It's because it says, al tono ish et achiv. Ish et achiv, there's hana'a, ona'a, but there's no ona'a for Hekdesh, because they're not achiv. They're not your brother. And therefore, the din of ona'a does not apply to Hekdesh. So just remember, recall that in the Gemara Bava Metzia, the way that ona'a is structured is in the following manner. Ona'a means 1/6 above the market price for this item. So if someone charges any amount up to less than a sixth, we say that the person is mochel on that excess amount, and the transaction stands, and you don't have to do anything, you don't have to give back the money. If you charge a sixth over the price, that's called ona'a. In that case, the transaction stays in place, but you need to refund the excess money of the ona'a, or you have to pay whatever was the deficit with regards to that ona'a. If it's greater than a sixth, it's what's called bitul mekach. In that case, we unwind the transaction, and we say that the transaction was null and void because it's just too great an amount. So over here, the Gemara is asking Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish's machloki here about paying back Hekdesh as to what was the mispricing over here. How big was the mispricing? Was it a mispricing of ona'a, which means that it was a 1/6 mispricing over here? And in that case, we would say that the mekach stands. You just have to refund the money. So then Reish Lakish is going to say over here, that you have to sow lasot damim dvar Torah, that you have to make up the deficit min Torah. The Mishnah in Bavli Metzia is explicit that ona'a doesn't apply to Hekdesh. So then why would he think that ona'a has implications over here with regards to Hekdesh? Ela abitul mekach. So you must say that the differential was greater than a sixth, which with hedjotot would result in bitul mekach, would result in an annulment of the transaction. Baha neima Rabbi Yochanan tzarich lasot damim idivrehem. In that case, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, oh, you only have to make up the deficit in the monies. Mi divriham? Mi derabbanan? Why wouldn't you have to make it up? Mi doraita? V'ha amar Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya says, akarkaot duchulin. That he said this about karkaot. Rabbi Yona amar ahekteshot. He said this about hekteshot. Tarvayu mishmei Rabbi Yochanan. He that said this is Rabbi Yochanan. They both said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, who said, amre ona ein lahem bitu makach yesh lahem. So Rabbi Yochanan makes a diuk with regards to al tonu ish et achiv, that you may not perform ona'a with your fellow Jew. That is only with regards to ona'a. But from that it would imply, by bitul mekach, it would have application. So Rabbi Yirmiya says, Rabbi Yochanan said that statement about karkaot, that by karkaot there's no din of ona'a, but there is a din of bitul mekach, which means that if you exceed that 1/6 pricing differential with karkaot, then there is bitul mekach by karkaot. Now, Rabbi Yona says that it refers to hekdeshot, that by hekdesh, if you charge more than 1/6 over, then bitul mekach has application in that case, even though ona'a does not have an application with regards to hekdeshot. And of course, according to Rabbi Yona, who says it applies to hekdeshot, he thinks it also applies to karkaot, whereas Rabbi Yirmiya would say that it has application by karkaot, it doesn't apply to hekdeshot at all. So here you have a machloket between these Amoraim as to what Yochanan said with regards to bitul mekach. So if you say that it's referencing to bitul mekach, that works well according to Rabbi Yirmiya, who says that there's no bitul mekach by hekdesh according to Rabbi Yochanan. But it does not work well according to Rabbi Yona, who says that Rabbi Yochanan believes that there's no ona'a by hekdesh, but there is bitul mekach by hekdesh. Okay, so that's a good question. We're going to see later on at the end of the Gemara that it's only unidirectional. And in all likelihood, we would say the same thing over here, which is that when Rabbi Yochanan says there's bitul mekach with regards to hektesh, that's only in a case where hektesh has got the lower hand. But if hektesh has the upper hand, then there won't be any bitul mekach. It seems to be that's only when it's in favor of hektesh to have the bitul mekach, will we say there is a bitul mekach. But if it's not in favor of hektesh, we wouldn't say such a thing. So now we ran ourselves into a problem because Rabbi Yochanan, at least according to Rabbi Yonah, believes that there is bitul mekach by hektesh, and then how can he say that the making up the deficit in money is only din derabbanan, not a din deoraita? The Gemara says, veipuch, flip around their positions. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish reverse their positions. Now, flipping around their positions is a solution for Rabbi Yonah. It's not a solution for Rabbi Yirmiah. All you did was change the problem from Rabbi Yonah to Rabbi Yirmiah. Because if you flip their positions now, Rabbi Yochanan says, you have to make up the deficit min haTorah, whereas Rish Lakish now says you have to make it up min derabbanan. So now, according to Rabbi Yonah, that's great that you have to make it up midoraita, because he says Rabbi Yochanan holds a bitul mekach by hektesh. Problem now is for Rabbi Yirmiah, who says that Rabbi Yochanan thinks that there is no bitul mekach by hektesh. Then how you can explain that Rabbi Yochanan is saying now Dvar Torah, you have to make up the deficit? So you just traded one problem for the other. You traded the problem for Rabbi Yonah now to Rabbi Yirmiah. That's what the Gemara says. Mi matzidar mar tipuch. Can you really flip them? Anich lemandamar a hektesh shod b'kosh kena karkot. Because then it works well for Rabbi Yonah, who says that bitul mekach has application by hektesh shod. Certainly it also has it by karkot. Alamand amar a karkot. But according to Rabbi Yirmiah, who says that bitul mekach, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is only applicable by karkot. About hektesh shod, inlem bitul mekach. Hektesh shod never have bitul mekach. They don't have a knot. They don't have bitul mekach. So then how could you flip it around? It doesn't gain you anything. It just causes a problem for Rabbi Yirmiah instead of Rabbi Yonah. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiah lo tipuch. So of course Rabbi Yirmiah is going to say, don't flip around the positions. But lema b'tishmuel kamiflegei. Let us say that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are arguing in the position of Shmuel. The truth is that there is an alternate girsa that is brought by the Rabbeinu Gershom, which says that lema kamiflegei Rabbi Yonah v'Rabbi Yirmiah b'tishmuel. The Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yirmiah are arguing within Shmuel, and the truth is that they're going to align here, that it's going to work out that Rabbi Yonah is going to align with Rish Lakish, and Rabbi Yirmiah is going to align with Rabbi Yochanan, and they're both arguing within this din of Shmuel. Da'amar Shmuel, this is the famous din of Shmuel, which has huge ramifications, implications today, which is hektesh shaveh maneh. If hektesh is worth 100 zuz, shechilolo shaveh pruta, that your mechalel, you redeemed it onto even the smallest amount, even onto a pruta, mechulau, you are successful at doing such. De Rabbi Yonah, Late the Shmuel. Rabbi Yonah does not hold of Shmuel, but Rabbi Yirmiah, it laid the Shmuel. And Rabbi Yirmiah has Shmuel. Or, you could say the same thing as you could see in the Ot Aleph of the Gra, which is, De Rabbi Yochanan, it laid the Shmuel. And, De Rish Lakish, late laid the Shmuel. You could say it in either way. What they're suggesting over here is that Shmuel's din, which says that, Hektesh, you can transfer that Kedusha from a large valued item onto a very small value, and you will be successful at doing such. And in doing so, now we're setting up the machloket between them on this issue. Does Shmuel's din apply here, or does Shmuel's din not apply over here? Now, Rav Chaim over here makes a important distinction, and that important distinction goes back to the question I asked before, which was that according to Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, why should it be that if you paid less than the amount, that you're successful at removing the Kedusha? And that is because, as Rav Chaim says, that there are two dinim, with regards to taking Kedusha off of an item and transferring it onto another, and doing pidyon. There's one which is the Kedusha itself, that you have now Kedusha on one item, and you want to transfer the Kedusha onto another item. The movement of Kedusha can be done from any value to any value. That's what Shmuel's telling you. Shmuel's telling you, even if you go from 100 zuz to one pruta, the transference of Kedusha is successful. There is a separate issue, which is the issue of Mekach u'Memkar, which is that you also owe money to Hektesh, and now you're cheating Hektesh out of that money. So the question of Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish does not relate to Shmuel's din, which is the din of the Kedusha. Everyone agrees that the Kedusha is successfully taken from one animal to the other animal. The question is, do you still owe the money for that transference of the Kedusha in such a manner? So that would be the argument between them, whether they eat lay the Shmuel or let lay the Shmuel, will revolve around this issue. As same thing if you say it's Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yirmiah, that will revolve around this issue. Do we say that just like you're able to move the kedusha in that way, so too the real value of the animal is also fine in that situation? Or do we say that you can separate out the issues? And the reason you would separate out the issues is because, with regards to kedusha, kedusha is not something that has to do with value. Kedusha has something to do with it. You're moving from one object to the other object. On the other hand, when it comes to value, you're cheating hekdesh. But the cheating of hekdesh is not hekdesh itself. Hekdesh owns the kedusha aspect of it. The cheating is here, is this is money that belongs to Klal Yisrael, or the tzibur of Klal Yisrael, because they are the members of the Klal Yisrael that gets the benefits, or the beneficiaries of this money. So in that way, it'll help us understand that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, when we say they're arguing in Shmuel, they're not disagreeing about Shmuel's din, they're disagreeing about the application of Shmuel's din to not only the kedusha, but to the value here as well. And again, that would help us understand on the previous Amud, how is it that the kedusha transferred off when you did the wrong value? The answer is Shmuel. Shmuel allows you to do that. And despite the fact that that happened, now we have a machloket as to whether that also has impact with regards to the value itself. The other point, or other thing that we need to discuss over here is the fact that Shmuel over here says that you're allowed to be mechalel something when you take something of a larger value and put it onto a smaller value and you're successful. What about the fact that the Torah explicitly says with regards to redeeming items that the word kohen appears 10 times in the parshia of assessing values of karka in Perek Chavav in Vayikra? From that we learn that you need 9 lay people and 1 kohen. You need 10 people to do the assessment. Well, all of a sudden over here are people making assessments where they're misassessing the price and they're doing things with hekdesh. Where happened to all this formality where you need 10 people to do the assessment? Why is that not relevant or applicable over here? And where is the din of Shmuel applicable if you have these 10 people doing the assessment where you have a professional assessment what the value is? How are they missing the value so greatly? So how is it over here? We're talking about assessments by 3. We're talking about the individual transferring the kedusha by himself. How is this all happening under the auspices of hekdesh when hekdesh requires 10 people to assess the value of any given item? So how do we have any of these scenarios or any of these issues that are coming up? The different ways to deal with that are, first of all, to say there's a difference between karka and metaltalin. And then the Torah says you need 10. That's by karka. But over here we're dealing with metaltalin, and therefore metaltalin may have a different din than karka. Or requirement to have 10 assess it is only when the gizbar is the one that's engaging in the assessment of the value, not when it is the layperson or the balabite himself. You can see that at the end of the Balei Tosafot over here, lo amru, tzarich lamar, the hachamayri balabayit podeh hekdesh shalo. Here he's redeeming his own hekdesh. Chiyagavna mar shmol, the mechulala pachol mishavyo. And that's where Shmuel says, even when you make a mistake, it works. About Gizbar, the treasurer of Hekdesh, Hamocher Hekdesh, Drich Shlosha, Wasara, the Markaditle, the Markaditle, depending on what the halacha is with regards to Hekdesh, he needs the official assessment values. So Tosafot explains that even Shmuel's din might be limited to individuals that are doing it, not the Gizbar himself. Or you could, again, differentiate between Karka and Metaltalin. By Karka, you need the 10. By Metaltalin, you can't have this mispricing that Shmuel says still works to transfer the kedusha, or these other types of assessments that would work. The other way to explain it is also that the word erkacha doesn't mean, like we're saying here, erkacha means the exact value, like the Rabbit explained before. Rather, erkacha means whatever value you give it, that is the proper value. And even if it's a mistaken value, that it would still work. In that case, even if the 10 people did it and it was a mistaken value, that would work, or that would be sufficient in terms of transferring the kedusha off of the item. So Mar says, lo, that's not what they're arguing about. Ben Damar, Idle Dishmol. Whether it's Rabbi Yochanan or Reish Lakish, or whether it's Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yirmiyah, everyone holds of Shmuel. And now, Rabbi Yonah Savar, Ki Amar Shmuel, Di Avad, Aval Dechatchila Lo Amar. Rabbi Yonah says, when Shmuel says it, it's only Bidi Avad, but Dechatchila Lo Amar. Or, you could say the same thing in Reish Lakish. If you think the Girsa here should be Reish Lakish, says that when Shmuel says it, it's Bidi Avad, Aval Dechatchila Lo Amar. Rabbi Yirmiyah savar afilu lechatchila. Rabbi Yirmiyah thinks even lechatchila, or Rabbi Yochanan believes afilu lechatchila. That's the girsa that we have in our Gemara. The Gra here, if you look in Ot Bet, changes the girsa and says this girsa is totally incorrect. And he says that Rashi has this alternate girsa that he is proposing over here. So we're going to first read it based on the girsa of the Gra that he says Rashi has, and then I'll explain to you the girsa that we have in our Gemara. So he says the Rabbi Yonah savar. If he intends to be mechilit, to create a pidyon, vadai mechel, it certainly works. Over here, he's not trying to do that. So what the Gemara is saying, according to this view in the Gra, And that's what he says Rashi is saying, is that when you're trying to cheat Hekdesh, and you know you're cheating Hekdesh, you will succeed at cheating Hekdesh, and that's the Din of Shmuel. The Din of Shmuel is that when you know you're exchanging a higher valued item to a lower valued item, you will succeed at doing such. And the Kedusha will transfer, and you don't have to pay anything back. The question comes up when you didn't intend to cheat out Hekdesh. It happened to be that you mispriced it, or you unintentionally paid too little. And that's where the machloket is, whether it's the machloket between Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yirmiyah, or whether it's the machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, either way that you want to explain the Gemara over here. In both instances, the question is there a bito mekach according to Rabbi Yonah? According to Reish Lakish, is there a need to make up the deficit? Because you didn't intentionally cheat Hekdesh. It was a mistake, and therefore it's a bito mekach, and until you make up the deficit, it doesn't work. Or do we say that Rabbi Yochanan says if it works when you do it intentionally, it should also work when you do it unintentionally? And Rabbi Yirmiyah will say the same thing, and that's why there's no bito mekach by Hekdesh, because whatever you did is done, and Shmuel's then applies, not only when you do it intentionally, but even when you do it unintentionally. Now, if you go to the Girsan or Gemara, that's the way you're going to explain Di'avad and the Chatchila. Tosafot spends a lot of time on that and says that the words Di'avad and the Chatchila over here are not your classic senses of the Chatchila. This is the proper thing to do. And Bidi'avad means if you did it this way. But rather, Bidi'avad and the Chatchila are explained in the way that we just explained Rashi, which is that Kiyamar Shmuel Di'avad. If Shmuel said it's Din Di'avad, means that when you intentionally tried to cheat Hekdesh, which is a Bidi'avad thing to do, when you did that, everybody agrees it works. Aval lechatchila lo amar. But if you did it lechatchila, which means you intended for it to be the right price, and it ended up being the wrong price, that is not where Shmuel says it. And Tosafot explains the Gemara reading the lechatchila b'diavad, and he says that's what Rashi means over here, and not the classic meanings of the lechatchila. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense to say that Shmuel's din is the lechatchila. Who would ever say that Shmuel said his din? You should cheat Hekdesh lechatchila. That doesn't make sense. So therefore, the explanation of the lechatchila over here must mean that the chatchila is that you intended to do the right thing and you got the wrong price. Bidiavad means that you intended to do the wrong thing, and so there it's successful. And that's the same din. Now, I'll remind you that Shmuel's din, the Gemara says in other places, only applies bidiavad. It's not the chatchila. You can't do it intentionally. It only works bidiavad. But the Gemara says in those places that b'zman hazeh, where it's going to go to the Ibud anyway, Hekdesh, and the Rishonim apply it to Meiser Sheni as well. Therefore, we invoke Shmuel's din, the Chatchila, and we are podet large amounts of items onto very small amounts, onto a pruta, regards to Meiser Sheni and Hekdesh today, because of the din of Shmuel, because today it's already Bidiavad, because you can't do anything with the Hekdesh, you can't do anything with the Meiser Sheni, so it's as if it is a Bidiavad situation from the outset. But over here, again, the words Bidiavad and the Chatchila are slightly different. And again, the Gemara here thinks that if you do it intentionally, according to this version, then you would succeed at doing what Shmuel says, even though he doesn't condone that, but you would succeed. If you did it unintentionally, that's where you have the machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, or you can say it's the same machlok between Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Yonah. V'ivayitema, and then some say, lo'olam lo teipuch, again, don't flip their positions, but kakash lecha mitnitin, and you're worried about the Mishnah of Elu Dvarim Hekdeshot. The problem he had then was, okay, I understand Rabbi Yochanan's position. If you say that we're speaking about Ona'ah, so I understand then why Rabbi Yochanan believes that you don't have to make it up Mina Torah, you don't have to make it up Mida Rabbanan, because Ona'ah doesn't apply to Hekdesh Mina Torah. So that I understood, but then we didn't understand Reish Lakish. Why does Reish Lakish say Mina Torah? You have to make up the Ona'ah. Doesn't make any sense because there's no Ona'ah for Hekdesh. Kid Rav Chista. He holds like Rav Chista. The Amar Rav Chista, Ein Lehem Ona'ah. What does it mean that Hekdesh doesn't have Ona'ah? And he would say it for the other items as well. What does it mean that they don't have Ona'ah? Einan b'torat Ona'ah. It's not that they don't have Ona'ah, and therefore they can charge as much as you want or as little as you want. Einan Ona'ah means Einan b'torat Ona'ah. They don't have the din of Ona'ah at all. L'chumra. Ta'afilu pachot mikdei Ona'ah. Chozer. That even less than a sixth, you nullify the transaction and you have to pay it back to Hekdesh. You're going to owe money to Hekdesh, irrespective of how much the differential was. I mean, that's what it means, Ona'ah doesn't apply. Until now, we assume when Ona'ah doesn't apply, it means Ona'ah doesn't apply, and the threshold of a sixth isn't meaningful. So even if you go above that threshold, it would not be a problem with regards to Hekdesh, with regards to Karkot and other items. The way that Rav Chista reads it is, Ona'a is a special gzeirat hakatuv that gives you a window of pricing in which we consider the transaction to be valid. But Hekdesh doesn't have that. And that means that Hekdesh's transaction is invalid even with the smallest amount. Now, the way to explain that possibly is that what we discussed before, which is with regards to transactions between lay people, people forgive when it's less than a sixth. That's the Gemara's assumption, that people are mochel in less than a sixth, and that's why the transaction stands when it's less than a sixth. Problem with Hekdesh is that there's nobody to be mochel over there. Since you don't have anybody to be mochel, you can't say that less than a sixth is not ona'a, or you waive the ona'a, because there's nobody to waive the ona'a in that case. Three different ways to explain this. Either the Ravid says because Torah demands erkecha, since the Torah demands erkecha, you need to get the exact price, and otherwise you deviate any amount from that, it's going to be problematic. Or we say that it's a gzeirat katuv, which is al tonu ish et achiv, and it only applies to lay people, but for Kekdesh it doesn't apply, but it doesn't apply to Chumrah, which means that they don't have it at all. Or the Rosh brings this last possibility, which is that by lay people, the whole reason that less than a sixth is not ona is because of mechila. That works by lay people. By Hekdesh, you can't have mechila. So that would then be the explanation of Reish Lakish's position, that Reish Lakish would say that since I'm holding like Rav Chisda, then the din of ona not applying by Hekdesh means it applies to the fullest extent by Hekdesh. That would be the difference. Rav Yochanan says, no, regular ona doesn't apply by Hekdesh, and therefore there's no bitul mekach here, and then making up the deficit is only midrabanan. Whereas Reish Lakish will say that making up the differential here is a doraita problem, because he holds like Rav Chisda, which means when there's no ona, it means that you have to get the exact price. Any deviation from the exact price is a bitul mekach, and that's why you mina Torah, it's not yet tzadu chulin until you get the exact price. Amar Ula. So now Ula says, lo amru. So now there's a machloket here as to whether this is a reference back to the Mishnah, or is this a reference to what we just said with regards to Rav Chisda? As you can see, both Lishonot in the Rabbeinu Gershom, the Balei HaTosafot say right away, lo amru, klomar, hadamran, pachot mikdei ona'a, chozer. That which Rav Chisda said, that when it's less than a sixth, it still has to be returned. You have to pay it up. In Hekdesh, lo amru, that's only true. Now Ula is going to give us the qualifications of that. That's one way to read it. That's the way the Balei HaTosafot read it. And the Rabbeinu Gershom brings a Girsa like that. But then he brings a Lishna Achrina, which is referencing back to the Mishnah. That when the Mishnah says, Tzarich Lasot Lo Damim, that's only true in the following qualifications. So either Ula is qualifying the Mishnah about Damim, which means he's qualifying the Machlok between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan as to when making up the Damim is meaningful. And that's both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether it means the Rabbanan and Doraita, but this is the limitation where we make you make up the deficit from the Mishnah, or it's reference to Rav Chisda's statement over here that you have to return the money even when you're pachot me ona. When is that true? So he says, lo amru ela bi shamui betray, that if the assessment was done by two individuals, aval b'shamui betlato, if the assessment was done by three individuals, afagav da'ati b'meya, even afterwards 100 people come, they give you a different assessment, lo hadar. It doesn't get retracted. The assessment is binding because you did it in a proper manner. You used three individuals for the assessment. So only if you use two people is that subject to recall, meaning that according to Rav Chisda, you have to return the money even if l'pachot miona. Or according to the Mishnah, you have to make up the deficit between the animal that you had that was a balat mum and the one you transferred onto it. That's only true when the shamui was done with two, but if it was done with three, you're all good. Even if 100 people afterwards come and say otherwise. Ini? Is that really true? Ha amar Rav Safra. Doesn't Rav Safra say, Hecha amar mea kitrei betrei kemea? When do we say that two people are the equivalent of 100 and 100 equal to two? Then you're an edut. That's if you have a kate din that's made up of two people, and you have a kate din made up of 100, they're viewed as one versus one. 100 is no better than two because they're a single kate din. It's as if it's one versus one. That's true by edut. About the inyan umdana, when it comes to items that have to do with assessment, umdana means things are not determined by edut. We find this similar idea by edut isha with regards to a aguna, and the person's going to testify about the death of the baal. Also over there, we say that numbers matter. When you have 3 versus 2 or 5 versus 2, that makes a difference because it's an umdana. It's not about edut. It's not real testimony. So it's over here. This is about an assessment of property. Over there, numbers should matter. So butter deo does lenon. We go after the numbers. So if you have 100 versus 3, 100 should govern here as to what the right price is. The two. And even if you didn't go, say you did 3 up front, and then you had 100 in the back end there, I say clearly the 100 should win. But even in a case, the tzlata v'tzlata, where the case we have three saying that it was a lower price, and then the other three come along and say it should have been a higher price, lo azvina batabatra, why wouldn't you follow the second assessment? Because yad hektesh al yona, is what you asked before. Hektesh always gets the upper hand. If hektesh always gets the upper hand, if the second three are giving you a higher price, then hektesh should get the benefit of that. Kasabaullah, sarich lasot damim mi divrehem. He believes that in the Mishnah, when it said sarich lasot damim, it means divrehem, like Rabbi Yochanan. And b'chod rabbanan, akilu bar rabbanan. Since only a din rabbanan, it's a din rabbanan, they were mekil in the din rabbanan, that once you get an assessment of three, that is sufficient to be the official assessment of the item. And so this actually is heavier evidence that the statement of Ula is really going back on the Mishnah rather than on the statement of Chista. But despite the fact both the Bali Tosafot and the Rabbeinu Gershom brings a Mishnah that says that it's referencing to Rav Chista's statement. Now the next Mishnah says, Harizo tachat Ola. If you say this animal of Kulin is in place of the Ola, tachat chatat, or is in place of a chatat, lo amar klum. You didn't say anything. Now, according to Rashi, the animal, the chatat and olah, are standing right next to you. And when you say that hare zo takar olah or zo takar chatat, you are unsuccessful at doing it because the only way you can do it is the next language. Takat chatat zo. You have to identify which chatat. It's in place of the chatat that's right here. Or takat alot zo. Or it's in place of this olah that's here. So according to Rashi, even if the animals are standing right next to you, if you don't say zo and you don't identify clearly which animal you're doing the tumurah from, moving the kedusha onto the other animal of Kulin, it doesn't work. Even though it's muchach, because the animals are standing there, and you said chatat and you said olah, doesn't work. Rabbeinu Gershom over here says that's a case where the animals are in your house. They're not standing right next to you. You own a olah, you own a chatat in your house, and you're saying that this is takar olah, takar chatat. It doesn't work because nobody knows what you're talking about. Nobody knows where the animals are that you're speaking about. But if you say takar chatat zo or takar lo zo, you're identifying which animals that you're connecting it with. That works. From that, it sounds like that the Rabbeinu Gershom believes that the animals were standing right there, and it's mukach, that's what you're speaking about, it would work even without the word zo. If you say, tachat chatat, v'tachat olah, shiyesh li babayit, hayalo, he has a chatat or an olah in his house, it works. And he identifies clearly the animals in the house, so then, that's the same as saying zo to an animal that's standing right in front of you. So it might be when the Rabbeinu Gershom says they're in the house, that's because of this part of the Mishnah, not to say in the Reisha that if it was not in the house and standing next to you that it would work. It's not muchach that Rabbeinu Gershom argues on Rashi. Amar la beimat meyah v'ala balat mum. He says about an animal that is non-kosher. Or he says about an animal that has a mum in it. Hari elu ola. These are olot. Doesn't work. Lo amar klum. Doesn't work. Hari elu le ola. You say these are going to be used towards an ola. Yimachru v'yaviv b'tmeyam ola. That is successful because you can't make them into olot. What you can do is make them into something that has kedushat damim that you'll monetize to bring an ola. So if you say le ola, it works. But if you say hare ola, that you want to make them an ola, that does not work. Amar Yehuda Marav, matnitin lo k'Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Meir. Dika Rabbi Meir, if it was like Rabbi Meir, ha ein adam motzi dvarav lebatala. A person doesn't say things in vain. He doesn't make statements that are meaningless. Rabbi Meir's position is from the Gemara in Arachin. If you remember back in Arachin, when you say erech behema alai, or you say erech of a human being that's less than a month old alai, within the world of erech, those aren't meaningful statements because erech only applies to human beings and only applies to human beings above a month, 30 days and older. So if you said erech about a behema, or you said erech about a child that is less than 30 days, according to the Chachamim, it's a meaningless statement and you don't have to do anything. Rabbi Meir says, look, the guy's trying to say something, and if he's trying to say something, he must have meaning to it. How do we make it into meaning? We say that it's really a neder for the damim, and not erech. So Rabbi Meir says, when you say erech behema alai, you're not saying something meaningless, and it's nothing. You're saying, I really want to give the value of this animal to hektashians, as if you said, I want to give the damim of this animal, even though you use the word erech. And similarly, with the child under a chodesh, that's the same thing. So Rabbi Meir believes we always have to interpret your statement to be meaningful. So in this case, too, he would say that even though you have statements here that the Mishnah claims is lo amar klum, according to Rabbi Meir, they wouldn't be lo amar klum, they'd have to be meaningful. Which part of the Mishnah Rabbi Meir is referencing to is not clear, that you can see in the Bali HaTosafot. Matitlin lok Rabbi Meir perish tuktani tachat chatat, tachat olah, lo amar klum. When you didn't say the word zo, and you just said tachat chatat, tachat olah, over there, Rabbi Meir would say that since a person doesn't say something in vain or meaninglessly, so he clearly has in mind a chatat, or clearly has in mind a olah, and the Hadpasa works. It says, Ba'od Yesh Mepharshim, that Rabbi Meir is on the latter half of the Mishnah. By the Behemat Me'ah and the Balat Mum, when you say Hare Ola, and it doesn't work, over there, Rabbi Meir says, well, it does work, and it does create Dudashat Damim. Because, of course, you can't make them to an Ola, but we have to make something out of what he said. The only way to do that is to say it has Kushat Damim, even though he said the wrong language, he said Hare Ola. So from one of those two parts of the Mishnah, it's clear that the Mishnah is not in the view of Rabbi Meir. Hare Elu Ola, Yimachru V'Yavid Damav Ola. So that last piece in the Mishnah is by the Balat Mum and the Behemat Me'ah. If you say Le Ola, you're successful. And they become Kedushat Damim, and then you monetize them and bring an Ola. Taima de Behemat Me'ma Umbalat Mom Lo Chazian. So the reason that that's true is because these are Behemot Tmeot, or Balat Mom, that have no ability to go on the Mizbeach. They were never wrote away the Mizbeach. Therefore, Lo Bayin Muma. Therefore, you don't have to wait for them to get a Mom in order to sell them to monetize them. You monetize them right away, and then you take the money to bring an Ola. Aval Mafrish Nekeva De Asham O De Ola. If you are Mafrish Nekeva Tmeima, for an Asham, or for an Ola, both of which don't have korbanot that come from a Nekeva, nevertheless, Ba'in Muma, in order to remove that Kedusha from that Nekeva, you need to wait for a Mum, monetize it, and then use the monies towards the Ola, or towards the Asham. And Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Matnitzin Lok Rabbi Shimon. Our mission is not like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon that we saw earlier in the Masechta, back on Daf Yutera Mudbet. It's not Rabbi Shimon Omer, Timacher Shelo B'Mum. He says the Nekeva is the biggest Mum that you can have, therefore you don't need a Mum to sell it. By definition, it never retains any Kedushat HaGuf over here. It's Kedushat Namim from the outset, because the Nekeva doesn't belong in the world of Ola, doesn't belong in the world of Hashem. Whereas the Chachamim believe that you do attain Kedushat HaGuf, but it's Kedushat HaGuf that can't go on the Mizbeach, so you have to wait for it to get a Mum, monetize it, and then use those monies towards the Korban. And again, we discussed back over there why it is that the Chachamim think that the Nekeva has relevance by the Ola, or relevance by the Hashem. That's the one language. Rashi brings a Lishna Achrina, which is also found in the Rabbeinu Gershom, which is that Lishna Achrina, Aval, Anekeva, Hare Zo Ola, Kodsha Kedushat HaGuf Le Ola, Ve'oset Tmura, and it has the ability to create Tmura, Dechazia Le Gufa Le Shlamim, because it itself could be a Shlamim. Udelo K'Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehuda, and this is not like Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehuda, because Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehuda said back earlier that even for an Ola, Enosim Tmura, that even an Ola can't make Tmura. So over there we saw a machloke with regards to Rabbi Shimon Shita. Does Rabbi Shimon only say Shita by Nekevat Asham? Because over there there's no manifestation whatsoever of Nekeva. So that's where he says that it's an automatic moment from the outside. You only have Kedushat Damim and not Kedushat Aguf. But by Nekeva the Ola, he would agree, because Nekeva has relevance in the world of Ola because of the birds, because of all the other things that we discussed back earlier in the Masechta, back on Daf Yutet Yutet. So then, over there, we would say that he agrees that by Nekeva de Ola, that it does attain Kedushat HaGuf, and you can create Mura. So that's the one view. Then there's a view of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yehuda, way at the end of the sugya there, that says that even by an Ola, Rabbi Shimon believes that it doesn't, if you make a Nekeva de Ola, it doesn't create Mura, you don't attain Kedushat HaGuf. So that would be the other reading over here, which is, this is not like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yehuda. Because over here it says that in the case of Hare Ola by Balat Mum and Behemat Me'ah, it says over there that that creates Kedushat Damim, implying that if you did a Nekeva Le'ola, that it would attain Kedushat HaGuf. And that is not like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yehuda. So the question is the diuk out of the statement of the Mishnah that's only true by Balat Mum and its Me'ah, but a Nekeva Le'asham, Nekeva Le'ola would have been Kedushat HaGuf, and therefore it's upending Rabbi Shimon, who says by Nekeva Le'asham you don't need a Mum? Or is the diuk out of the Mishnah only about an Ola? Nekeva de Ola. And if you say it's only about a Nekeva de Ola, then it would not be a problem for Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon agrees by Nekeva de Ola. It would be a problem for Rabbi Shimon by Yehuda, who thinks Rabbi Shimon's din applies even by Nekeva de Ola. And that's why the Mishnah would not be like Rabbi Shimon by Yehuda if you make the deal that way. All right, with that, we end the fifth parak. Hadron Alach, Ketzed Marimim.